Praise the Lord.
The Lord is good.
I said the Lord is good.
Let me greet everybody. Good morning. I trust that you have been blessed over the last few days and that you had a very good night rest. Like I said yesterday, it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the best things you can do for yourself in life. And that's what you have done this weekend, to sit down in the presence of God. I've had a nice time teaching here. Actually, the way I preach, this is the kind of invitations I like. Most of the time, people invite me to come and preach somewhere. It's okay. 45 minutes on Sunday. I just say, I don't have time. I say, what can I say in a short while? You understand? There's so many things to say, except it's a place where I'm very used to the people. So I've really had a nice time for the amount of time I've been given here to teach the Word of God. So God bless you, sir. God bless you all for coming. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. You know, preaching is what I love doing. I love doing it. So anytime I do it, I am happy. If you want to meet me in a very happy mood, just see me on Saturday evening in Enugu. Because usually I just finished preaching. I'm in a very happy mood. Usually I'm a bit tired, but I'm very happy. All right, so I've been very happy being around here for the last few days. All right, the Lord is good? I said the Lord is good. Please, just like we're told, if you have a question, just write it down. At the end of the day, I will try my best with the Spirit of God to answer what I can. This is my last session here. Again, many of the things that I'm sharing is inside that book, Grace to Prosper. And it's about the biggest of the books we have. Okay, one of the biggest. There's another one that's about that size, which we have out there. So many of the things we are sharing is they are inside the book, so I encourage you to please read the materials. This morning, I don't want to give a specific title to what I want to say because I want to mop up everything I haven't said, all right? So I just continue our teaching on grace to prosper. About the most important thing I think I have said, which I want you to bear in mind as a result of these teachings, is a change of thinking, how your mind works. That is, if we can change our minds, think the way God thinks, we will find out that life responds to us automatically. I heard our brother telling us that we must make sure that we obey the things that we are told. We must get up to do. But there's something I want to just add to that. You will find out that doing is easier if you are sure. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, if you are convinced, if you think, let's just try what they said, it will be a struggle to do. But if you are sure, that is, you have agreed totally that the thing that was taught is the word of God, doing becomes easy. That's why I read from the book of Joshua chapter 1, that it said that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night. He said, if you meditate, that is, talk to yourself in that word day and night, you will be careful to do all that is written therein. To meditate in the scriptures is to mutter, to talk about, to speak about something again and again. It's not just to think about them alone. That is, when you are involved, when you ensure that your heart is involved fully with the thing that you are hearing, so that it erupts out of your heart in your mouth, like we said, when the heart of God was full, he uttered words. When that is done, you will find out that obedience to the word of God becomes easy for you. It becomes automatic. So let's be careful, therefore, never to forget these things that we have been talking about. Like I said, the most important thing is to change our thinking process. And as a result, the things that we say in life will be different. Once those things fall in line, then the doing of them will come out of our lives automatically. And once we do those things, we will most certainly prosper. Very important, let's think the way God thinks. Don't let people deceive you and say that the reason why, and I want to quickly talk about that, why you have problems in life is because you have an ancestral curse. You do not have ancestral curses working in your life if you are a child of God. Are there ancestral curses? Yes, there are. Am I saying people don't have them? Of course people have them. You have a lot of them in the scriptures. Gehazi was told that this leprosy of Naaman will not depart from you or from your descendants. So there was an ancestral curse in the house of Naaman. You will see there was an ancestral curse in the house of Eli.
after Eli, all right, his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, did what they did, God placed a curse upon the family. And he said that it will not happen that there will be one who have, that this won't happen, that the family will lack somebody that have serious problems. And that it will happen that poverty will be their portion. So that they will crawl to the priest that he will, you know, appoint and beg for a piece of bread. Say, please, put me in one of the priest's offices. That is, they are going to be in lack. They are going to have problems. We know that. And in fact, one of the people that conspired against David years and years, over 100 years later, the reason why it happened was because the Bible says it was a fulfillment of the curse that was upon the house of Eli. So we know that those things happen. However, in Christ Jesus, we have been set free. I didn't hear that amen enough.
Amen.
That's what I am saying. Because sometimes when you talk like people are in their hearts saying, what about this man? What about this man? Listen, you just have to put your foot down and believe what God says about you. And that's what I'm saying. If you have faith, poverty as a curse has been broken in your life. It has been broken in your life. So if you say, okay, but I've had problems. Let me quickly talk about that. Christians can have problems. Even Jesus had problems. I hope you know that. I say, eh? Jesus had problems. If Judas is your treasurer, that's the problem. You are running the ministry. The man in charge of your finances is a thief. You don't think it's a problem? When you are preaching, like I'm teaching, and the night time my mother is waiting outside, came with my brother and my sisters, and they say they want to, and my wife, and they want to take me back to Enugu, that they think I've lost my mind. Is that not what the problem is? That was what happened to Jesus Christ. If you go to your hometown, you say, hey, have you heard? Back into it, it's not a preacher. I heard he's raising the dead and healing the sick. Go and bring the dead dog. Let's see whether I can raise our dog that died yesterday. That is a problem. Does it mean Jesus was cursed? No. That you have opposition. You know, I see churches celebrate enemies. It makes me laugh. Tonight you will say that all your enemies will die. Why should they die? No, why should enemies die? Think about it for a moment. When the Bible says he prepares a table before you in the presence of your dead enemies. Is that what he said? In the presence of your enemies can be alive, you still prosper. Those who are fighting enemies morning, afternoon, and night, you know what's doing them? They are afraid of the enemies. There's a way I like to illustrate it all the time. That this is my own funny illustration. That in my house, of course, I don't know about Owerri. In Enugu, we have a lot of ants. I think they are the largest ant population on this earth in Enugu. I don't know. The thing is just all over. I can count at least 5 species of ants in my house. Some are black, some are brown, some are almost white. Different ones. What do you want to do? You fumigate the house, they will disappear for a month. Then they come back again. So they don't worry me again. So if the ants, if I enter my room and I see ants, you know what I tell the ants? I say, run, no, my wife is coming. Because me, I don't have the time. I just leave the ants alone. When my wife comes, any ant is dead, every ant. I said, sweetheart, why are you chasing these ants? They are noise ants. They're just disturbing somebody. But me, I just lie down. I tell the ants, just shift to that side. Me, leave me. Now, why do I behave like that towards the ants? I don't think anything of them. Like my wife says, they are just an inconvenience. But you know, when I see a mosquito, I bring my shotgun. After a mosquito, you know, I kill all the mosquitoes. You know why? Because unconsciously in my mind, I feel like these things transmit disease. You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And then they disturb my sleep. If I'm sleeping and hear whee in my ears, I will wake up and look for the fellow who made that noise. And kill that fellow before I can go back to sleep in peace. Now, because I think the mosquitoes are a threat, it's a small threat anyway, you understand what I'm saying? So, I go after them seriously. But as for the ants, in fact, there's this particular one, I don't kill that one at all. I drive it away. I just tell the ants, you are still here. If my wife comes back, all of you are dead. I like to use that illustration because it's so perfect concerning how we treat enemies. If we are afraid of them, they become all-night prayer points. But if you know they can't do anything to you, what do? You just go and sleep. He said, but you have enemies. He said, who doesn't have? Even God has enemies. I beg. You just go and sleep. But after all, he says, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I have never, I can't remember traveling and binding the demons on the road. Pleading the blood of Jesus on the main road. On the main road. I don't do it. Holy Ghost fire is not for my enemies. It's for me. When I want to shout Holy Ghost fire, I say, on my head, Holy Ghost fire fall. Then I'm empowered to preach the gospel. I can't be abusing Holy Ghost power by sending it on my enemies. All my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. He will be anointed. And trouble you some more. So when I want to share Holy Ghost fire, I share Holy Ghost fire on myself, on my wife, on my co-workers in the ministry, on my children, on the people that I love. I declare upon your heads Holy Ghost fire, which means you will prosper. You will effectively fulfill your ministry. As for my enemies, any Holy Ghost fire, no, no. Because if I give you Holy Ghost fire now, you will be anointed. I will not be causing me trouble. I don't want trouble. I want the Holy Ghost fire. There's this modern abuse of Holy Ghost fire. It's going on all over the place. When we see Holy Ghost, I will be distributed on our enemies. Upon my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. No, Lord, please, oh. Upon my enemies, no Holy Ghost fire. Keep the guy there. Let him be observing me as you are blessing me, as you are prospering me, that he might be fulfilled that which is written. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, what about when you are traveling? You don't use the blood of Jesus for your journeys. It's abuse. Anything you use wrongly is called abuse. If you take a drug, the way it's not supposed to be taken. What is that? Drug abuse. If you use holy in the blood of Jesus and used to paint the quota on the road, that is holy blood of Jesus abuse. He said, but what do you do about your journey? I declare the word of God. He is with me in my going out and in my coming in. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. He's given his angels charge over me. They will keep me in all my ways. No evil shall befall me. No plague shall come near my dwelling. That is good enough. So what about the blood of Jesus? It's used to cleanse my conscience. It is used to cleanse me from my sins. The blood of Jesus only cleanses me from my sins. It's the thing that makes the covenant of God effective in my life. I don't pour it on the road. The Lord is good. It's true. I don't pour it on the road. It's applied to my heart. And once I've been cleansed, even the devils know. Even the devils, they know. They keep their distance. Look at Job. Read your scriptures. Job did not even know the devil existed. I hope you know that. Yeah, the devil left him alone. He said it by himself, I have left that fellow alone. So please, your enemies, that's the point I'm making, they are not the reason why you are not prospering. That's what I need to emphasize. This one of using all night to quench the enemies that won't let you prosper. The Bible says, if the ways of a man pleases the Lord, he will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So if your enemies are disturbing you too much, go and check your relationship with your God. What am I going to emphasize? Curses cannot prevent us from prospering. Somebody say amen. Adversaries are not big enough to prevent us from prospering. Somebody say amen. That's the point I'm emphasizing. So these are the thought processes we must have in our minds. So why should a Christian have problems? There are many reasons. Let me quickly go over them. Number one, ignorance. Many Christians don't understand these things. They still go around saying that to have more than you need is against the will of God. I read one man once, beautiful teacher of the gospel. He said for a long time, he always just managed to have enough. If you read it carefully, because he believed that that was all God wanted every Christian to have. But when God began to teach him the doctrine of prosperity, which is what we've been looking at the last few days, then he began to change his mind, and then God was not able to supply abundance to him. Except God can change your mind for you, he can't bless you. The first blessing God gives you is to help you change the way you reason. That is number one. So ignorance can be a problem. Number two, Another reason why Christians have problems, which is, again, a bit of ignorance also, but that is when they are not obeying the precepts of God. Because the word of God has different aspects. There are promises of God, and then there are precepts of God, and then there are commandments of God, and then there are testimonies of God, and last of all, the Bible talks about the ordinances. I will not go into them in details, but just to emphasize to us that, listen, the promises of God is what a lot of Christians think they have to know. That's all. But there is what is called the precepts. What are the precepts of God? The precepts of God are the principles by which God expects us to walk. They are the principles of God. I was into one message, I think last night or early this morning. And the man was explaining that Christians must understand the character of God and depend on God's character. That's so that even when God doesn't say something expressly about some things, they should know the kind of mind that God has. What am I trying to explain? There are precepts, the way God reasons. Sometimes in our businesses, there are precepts that are supposed to follow business. Let me give a very practical one now. Every business must have an accounting process. One of the things I've observed that collapse businesses the most is that a lot of business people don't understand accounting, basic bookkeeping. And it's in the scriptures like that. The book of Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 23, he says, know the condition of your flock. In modern day, we say, have a good accounting. That's what it means. Know the condition. Know how many males there are there. How many females? How many of the females have had what they call kids over the last few years? Which ones are your strongest male animals there? It's called knowing the condition of your flock. Know how many there were last year. Know how many there are this year. Know why it don't seem to have increased as much as you think they should have increased. It's called knowing the condition of your flock. In modern day, we will call it accounting. Sometimes I see people that my wife has some dealings with, and she'll be looking at them like, hey, do you want to prosper like this? There's one woman she knows. The woman sells things, buys and sells. And then the woman will be selling things that maybe, assuming she's selling clothes now as an example, and she's selling maybe a gown for, let's say, 4,000 naira. I don't know the correct cost of gowns, I don't know. So my wife will look at the woman and said, how much did you buy the gown? Assuming the woman will say, I bought it for 3,000. Say, good. Where did you pay that 3,000? Lagos. How much did it cost you to bring it to Enugu? The woman does not know. How much did it cost you to distribute it to your customers? She has no idea. All she knows is that I bought the gown for 3,000 and I'm selling for 4,000. And in her mind, 1,000 naira is profit. So my wife sits her down and said, listen, you don't seem to get it. This gown did not work by itself to Enugu, did it? No. You from here move it to a place where you sell them. Yes. How much does that cost? The woman has no idea. Okay, your customers don't pay you cash. How much do you spend following them up, making calls and all of that? She has no idea. Say, so you haven't factored all of these things in. You see, the reason why you have not made money after doing this business for a long time. Because the woman confessed to my wife one time that she had some of her relatives, we bring things from abroad for her, all right? And say, sell, then pay us back as we are selling, just to help her. You understand, all right? Just pay us back as we are selling, just to keep you in business. And they stopped giving her things because she could not pay. So my wife was investigating, how come you can't pay people that trusted you and give you things? She now found at the end of the day, she was not wicked. She just didn't have a good accounting. So every time she's doing business, she's losing money. So she will calculate that I bought the thing for 3,000. I sold for 4,000. The cost of going to collect it from the park, she didn't put it down. The cost of moving around to the place where I sell them, she doesn't put it in there. The cost of transporting is no nothing. So at the end of the day, even she can't understand why she's losing money. So you know what we now say? Easy witches. You know, that's what people now say. It is my mother-in-law that has said that I will not do well. Listen, most people that say you won't do well have no power to effect it. Have you not been on the road before? You drew one drive, somebody does you like this. You have seen it before. What did he do to you? Nothing. Because all that one he did is anger, vexation. Are they vexed for you? Okay, now you don't vex. I don't go. What is going to happen? Nothing. The fact that somebody does not want you to prosper does not mean the person has the power to effect that wish. So forget it. And everybody in life has somebody who doesn't like them. You know, some of these are funny prophets. That's what they do. They will tell you that somebody doesn't like you. And I'll say, look, please, if anybody tells you that, ask the person, you. Does everybody like you? How come you don't have my problem? Of course, there are people who don't like me. I heard of one woman once. Once my program comes on radio, she gets angry and walks out of the place. We have never met her. Just does not like the sound of my voice. And when I heard it, I laughed. All I could do was what? Laugh. Has that stopped my ministry? I'm sure there are at least 1,000 of them. That's not affected my ministry. The worst they will do is that they won't send me an offering. And I was not counting on their contribution before. It has made no difference. Many times people blame people for their own incompetence. They said, I read a quote from the mouth of Napoleon Bonaparte, the French emperor. He said, the man said, never ascribe to conspiracy that which can be explained by incompetence. He said, never ascribe to conspiracy what can be effectively explained by incompetence. There was a day, there was one man I knew years ago. And his wife would talk with my mother and say that the man used to be rich. But that it is his mother. Now listen to this. It's a very foolish. In fact, there are some things you shouldn't believe. That it is his mother that killed his money. That the woman is a witch. She used witchcraft to finish her son's money. Please, I'd like to talk about this witchcrafting for a few minutes. You know, when I first married my wife that time, she would bring some stories. So, have you heard? Heard what? She finished telling one of these kind of witchcraft stories. And I'll tell her, it's a lie. She said, you never believe these things. I said, yes, how will I believe them? They are not true. After many years, of course, she has learned now. I said, have you noticed that I'm never wrong in all these things? Someone will just sit down. When they don't know what is going wrong with them, they say, it's a witch. I said, I don't believe some things that are unreasonable. Why should a woman decide that her son will not do well? Just because he's a witch. Not be hungry, go kill and kill the son. No matter how witchy you are in your witchcraft, you still have some self-interest. They will not be doing home video that says that they demanded for the life of the boy in the coven. That one a film. In real life, most witches want their children to do well so they can eat. You know what they now tell you? That it is because the boy was not giving her money. That's why she's angry. In which case, it is good. Because the Bible makes it clear that if you are not giving her money, God is angry with you. So it's not even the witch that's the problem. How can your mother be in the village? You are making money in the city, and the woman is not eating well. In fact, you should have problems. Your problems will double. A wicked soul. You should repent so that your problems can go away. Don't blame the witch. Send her an offering. Some of those witches, you know, they come out of coven once you send them offering. Do you know that? In quotes now, they are not really witches. Just anytime you see the woman, you greet her. Ah, mama, good morning. Say good morning. Ah, you won't greet me welcome. Oh, sorry, welcome. Anything for me to eat? No, nothing. And your wife will say, anytime we go to your house, your mother is never happy. Why would she be happy? When your wife shows up, she's shining. She's shining. Meanwhile, the woman, you haven't bought her any decent cloth in the last 1 year. And you are saying that she's not happy. If I'm the one, I will not be happy. In fact, I will lock the door. I'll tell you from the behind, I'm not at home. I've gone for witches meeting. It's only my body that is here. My spirit has gone to the coven. I mean, think about it. Look, my mother blesses me every time. Because I mustn't mistakenly detect. In fact, I don't even wait whether she's broke or not. Once the end of the month, I share my money around. She gets her portion. Even if she was in a coven, she would come out because of me. You tell the witches, people, please, I'm going somewhere. Where are you going? Don't worry. She won't go back again. A lot of people won't do their duties. They'll be blaming, they say the mother is in a coven. Why would she be in a coven? In fact, she will join coven when she sees your wife. You buy your wife a sharp new car. She's driving around. Your mother is looking. You come to the village once in a year. And by the time you give her 10,000, you think you have done well. And you now say the woman doesn't smile. When she sees your wife, she does not smile. If I were the one, I won't smile. Any teeth I have, I will remove it so that I won't mistakenly flash it in your direction. Go and obey the will of God. He said the Bible, he that drives away his father, he said, he that drives away his father or his mother, he said, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. That is, when there's light, God won't do him anything. Then when there's night, when there's trouble, boom, his light will go out. They will not say the woman is a witch. The woman is a witch. It's not the woman. She's not smiling because she's not happy. One young man came to me once. He said, he and his father, they are going to quarrel. He's going to do something. This was nowhere here, actually. I came to do a program a few years ago. In one hall in the area, we organized the program. He came from their village. He said, he and his father, that I should please advise him now, otherwise he's going to do something terrible. I said, what are you going to do? He said, can I imagine that his father is selling land and is not sharing the money with him? I said, what? Do you work? I said, how old are you? I can't remember. And I said, it's over 30. Do you work? He said, yes. What do you do? He said, I'm a poultry farmer. I said, you work? You went to school? He said, yes. Who paid for you to go to school? That your father? Yes. In my mind, you're a very foolish boy. You know, on the surface, you can't say that. He said, brother, God will help you. But what I told him, I said, listen, what you are doing is very, very, very foolish. If your father sells land and collects the money, shred it, put it in the toilet and flush it, it's none of your business. I said, a son honors his father. When last did you give your father anything? He was looking at me like this. I said, you say you have a farm, poultry farm. He said, yes. I said, every Friday, take half a tub of eggs. Pass by your father's door. Greet him. Drop it there. He won't eat too many eggs. One a day. It will finish after 1 week. Come back next week. Drop another one. Once in a while, take some of your old layers. Dress them up. You know, kill them. You know, roast them small. Wrap the thing. And come. And drop it there. And greet the man and go your way. December period, that's how much are they selling emotion paint? Call a painter to follow you to your father's house. Paint the thing and go your way. I said, that's what children do for their fathers. I'm talking about the precepts of God. When Christians don't walk in these precepts, they are talking about ancestral curses. If I share with you some of the prayers that my mother prays for me, in fact, the last one she prayed for me, it was very interesting. She said, he said, you will never lack in your life, but your children will take care of you. That is, I'm not saying you will need their money. I'm just saying that they will take care of you. You think she just woke up one day and said, let me bless my son? No, it was when Alad entered. When Isaac wanted to bless, what is his name? Esau. He said, go and bring me something to eat. Then my soul will respond. People will be disobeying the precepts of God. They will now be blaming people, witches. Some people, they are doing their businesses. Their customers are the ones cursing them. One day, my wife had a dealing with somebody, you know, just a woman. She was telling my wife that, I'm going to buy this thing like this and sell it like this. So my wife said, is that not expensive? He said, no, people will buy it. She said, but this is not good quality now. This thing may fade after a short while. The young woman talked to her and said, is it my fault? So my wife said, what? He said, that's how I bought it now. He said, but you are selling it expensive. You are giving your customers an impression that this is a good quality product. I say, it's not my fault. You sell things like that to your customers, they will go home. Anytime they want to use it, they say, God punish that girl. And those kind of things you bought with your hands. Until you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus doesn't cover. It's when you acknowledge your iniquity that one goes away. Many people every day, they are playing wayo. They learn the wayo of the other business people. They take something, you know, businessmen do it in the market. You want to buy a vehicle parts, filter. This is the best of them, assuming it's 1,000 naira. Then they take one that they bought for 400 and call it 2,005. Why do they do that? Because they know the mentality of human beings. Say, so how much is this one? 1,000. What about this one? Is this 2,500? Your mind says that must be the very high quality one. So you start pricing it. After you finish pricing, say, it is because of you, as if you know him from anywhere. So I just want to make you customer. You're not giving 1,200 naira. You think you have gotten a good deal. What you don't know is that he put the 2,500 naira mark on it to give you an impression that this is very good quality. He knows it's inferior. And when you buy that one for 1,100 naira, he has made 700 naira. Well, if you bought the one that everybody sells for 1,000, which is the best quality, he makes only like 100 or 200 naira. And you know what he tells you? Ah, it's business. Any Christian that does that is walking under a curse. There are no ancestral curses for the Christian. It is personal curses that exist. The one we buy with our hands. We use our mouth. You learn bad habits inside the market. Apply it to your business. Listen, God told the children of Israel, he said, I am taking you, removing them from that land, that is the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, you know, all those ites, the Jebusites. He said, I am removing them and I will bring you in. He said, I'm not bringing you in because of your righteousness. I am removing them because of their wickedness. He said, now listen to this. I am giving you the opportunity not to do their wickedness. You haven't done anything yet. You are not righteous. You are not wicked. You are just neutral. He said, even though you are my people, if you enter the land and do what they did that made me remove them, I will do to you exactly what I did to them. I will not say because Abraham is your father. What am I trying to say? There's a lesson there for us Christians. Even though our sins are forgiven, even though we have the power of the blood of Jesus, we cannot continue walking in iniquity that grace may abound. If we do what unbelievers do, after a while, we will reap the reward that unbelievers are supposed to reap. When we are doing our businesses, we must do them with honesty, with integrity, with an, you know, with a clear heart, good conscience. If I tell somebody this is this, it must be that. People say, if I do, I won't make money. Who said so? I mean, I always like to give the example. You know, how many of us know about cables? Most men would know about cables. You know, Nigeria cable. If you enter into the market, you want to buy Nigerian cable. It is 3 times the price of Chinese cable. Once you touch them, you know why. And do you know, once I was telling somebody that about Nigerian, why don't they do like this? Ah, he said, Olga, they have done it. That they are selling so much, they can't keep up with the demand. Chinese cables are a quarter their price. But anybody that wants to wire his own house buys Nigerian cable. All those Chinese cables are bought by people who want to deceive people. If it is your house, you don't buy Chinese cable. If you're a good contractor, you don't buy Chinese cable. They are the reason the house is burned. And we have realized it as Nigerians, and we always buy the Nigerian one, even though they are so expensive. When you touch it, you feel the quality. And that's why they used to advertise that Nigerians know when to think Nigerian. That you don't have to beg them to buy and make the Nigerian goods. Do it well, they'll buy it. What's the point I'm making? So don't let anybody deceive you that they won't buy. And then the next point is, oh, what if they don't buy it? You don't make money. We are first of all about what? Name making, not money making. A Christian can never use fake measures. You know what they call fake measures? You have a meat shop. You gently tune your scale so that instead of weighing 1 kg, it's weighing 0.85. So when somebody buys 10 kg, he gets 8.5 kg. The Bible says unjust weights are an abomination to the Lord. That's what I mean by precepts. You don't cheat customers. You don't tell lies. It is forbidden. If you do these things, you inject a curse into your life. And like I tell men, you don't commit adultery. That is the worst of spirit, evil spirit injectors into families. The boys will join cult in university. The girls will be sneaking out and going to midnight party. Why? Because the father is an adulterer. These are the things that bring... There's no ancestral curse for Christians, so it is personal curse. You understand my point? That they buy. Which, if they repent of, confess their sins, they are forgiven, and the effect is wiped away. I'm not talking about divine precepts. There are principles of God. Some of them are not even clearly sins, like I've been mentioning, like I mentioned at the beginning. Simple issue of doing proper accounting. Some people don't, if they want to write check for personal things, they use their business money. It's very poor accounting. And many people don't know it's bad. So they don't know when they are losing money or gaining money. You go to shop, to market, you see this dress. Ah, it's very beautiful. My wife will like it. Then you use the deposit a client gave you to do a job, to buy a dress. You are disobeying the scriptures that advocates good accounting. If you own your own business, let me just quickly drop this to help some people. First of all, put yourself on a meager salary. Meager, small salary that can just buy fuel and buy food. Every month, at least you hope that you are generating that amount of profit. You must be generating more than that too. You pay yourself last. That's another point. You pay everybody first and yourself last. If people are supplying you things, you pay them first. If you have workers working with you, you pay them next. The person that gets the salary last is you. And then every few months, you calculate your income, your expenditure, deduct them, your taxes, because you should pay your taxes. Don't be a thief. Pay the local government its portion. Pay federal government their portion. And like I said, we're not teaching it now, but you should learn it. Learn how to incorporate your business. Don't just be doing business from house. Go to CAC, Corporate Affairs Commission, and register your business. And they said, the other day, I attended a conference where I was one of the speakers. The man who spoke there, he said, do a limited liability company. He said, the advantage is that the tax benefits are better. You pay your, that is, it's easier. Do a limited, have a business name. That is, your business must be registered as an entity. At the end of the day, maybe every quarter, check your expenses, check everything, and calculate your profit. Then when you take in your profit, then you can do anything you like with it. If you like, take the profit, dance to the offering basket, and drop it inside, is your money. Amen? If you like, take a huge chunk, go back and buy your wife 20 of those dresses, it is your money. But like I always advocate, take a bit of your profit and plow it back to expand your business. Because he said, it has seed, a fruit that has seed in itself. Your profit has money for expanding your business inside it. This is not accounting in school. This is divine principles. Many businesses don't do them. That's why they collapsed. Because the man didn't know when he made money and when he lost money. Some honest people are in trouble. Why? Because somebody gave them this deposit for roofing. Okay, I'm a roofing contractor. Do this roof for me. How much? He does his calculation, 3.5 million. As soon as they drop 3.5 million for him, he hears that, somebody is sick at home. Then he says that, you know it's an emergency. Listen to me. Emergency does not allow you to steal. That one is stealing. It is the deposit for somebody's roof. If you think there is a risk, you may spend it. Quickly go back to him. So go to one of your friends. Say, please help me hold this money. It's not my own. Then go to bank and go and borrow if necessary. But that money is not your own. People, you know, these are little mistakes. Before you know what's happening, out of 3.5 million, the worst is that his man will say, you know, my sister is wedding next week. I have to go there with a nice car. So it takes 1 million. He has not done the roof. He has not bought the roofing trusses. He has not paid for the roofing sheets. He has already deposited for a new Camry. The Camry now caps his life. The next thing, say, Mr. Abraham, how far with my roof? thank God, we are coming, Then suddenly he realizes that he does not have the money to do the roof. But because he didn't do proper accounting, he doesn't know where the money went. Divine precept. There's another precept people don't understand. A man deposits money for you. Supply me, let's say, that roof. 1 week after he deposits money, the price of dollar goes up. You now come back to him and say, sorry, I can't supply it again. That is spiritually criminal. You have entered into an agreement. You have to pray to God to help you. You don't go back to that man and say, your money, it won't work for that job again. What do you mean? You've taken it. If the price of dollar had improved, will you return some of it to him? Of course not. The Bible says that the man that wants to enter into the heels of God is one that swears to his heart and does not change. Divine principles. He said, don't you know I'll lose money? That is what it means to be a Christian. Once in a while, we lose money. Righteousness has a cost. And next time you are wise, when you are doing your pricing next time, you put these eventualities into mind. You wedge your bets one kind, but okay. That way, you do things in a hurry. So if they pay you money today, you may by tomorrow you started. So the price don't vary on you. This, you know, if you read the Bible and obey it, you'll be an expert in business doing it.